Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can you believe that it's nearly the end of June? I don't know how we got here. Holy cow, this year is flying by. And here we are into this pocket of the calendar where Major League Baseball takes center stage. And yes, we'll have NBA free agency and NHL free agency, and there's news always simmering, and we're not that far away from NFL training camps and getting back into football mode. But I like this time of the year because it's slower. It's like the pace of Major League Baseball. There's no time on it. It's an opportunity to take a deep breath and enjoy this month, maybe 6 weeks, where it's not quite so nutty in sports. So baseball's my soundtrack of summer, and I love this late June period through about, end of July, maybe early August. And it gives me a chance to kind of bury myself, and I listen to a lot of Major League Baseball on the radio, and I really love it. And I know a lot of you do as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've got the NBA awards in our rearview mirror. We're, of course, getting close to pre-agency. We'll give you the latest on the Warriors as they want to make their pitches to both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. But a really unique guest going to join us here momentarily inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I will admit, when our guest was offered to me by a PR firm, what I heard was former general manager of the Dodgers. So right away, okay, I'm in. Let's talk. The Dodgers have got one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball, not just this season, but over the last several years. They've been to the World Series consecutive Octobers. And they've got household names and young players. It's an organization that has a lot going for it. So, all right, let's talk to the former general manager of the Dodgers. And then I read the rest of the email, and then I started to do my research on Kevin Malone. He was a top-flight executive in Major League Baseball. He worked with the Orioles. He worked with the Expos. He was with the Dodgers. He was award-winning. But when he left baseball, he found a new direction for his life. And that is why we invited him to the show. So we're pleased to welcome now a former GM and executive vice president of the Dodgers, Kevin Malone. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, why don't we start with a baseball question? How much do you still get to pay attention to baseball?
Well, I try to still have some friends and in the game, either players, coaches, managers, front office executives. So I don't really follow a team per se. I guess the Dodgers would still be my team, but I follow individuals and, cheer for those guys that I know. And I think, there's a lot of exciting baseball going on right now, a lot of things to talk about, the Dodgers being one. A lot of the rookies coming through in big ways with walk-off home runs, and, the pitching has been great. There's just a lot of positives in the game right now, and I know we've got to clean up the foul ball situation with the fans getting hit. So hopefully they'll put nets up all around the league and all the stadiums to protect our fans.
What is the biggest difference between the time that you were the general manager of the Dodgers and in the game, because you were in the game for a while, and the game that you say now is exciting, but there are a lot of differences. So what is the biggest?
Well, I think the approach is different now. I think there's a lot more Ivy League educated young men running major league teams. It seems like there's a lot more statistical analysis used. There's a lot more various kind of stats in different things that people are looking at. It seems like there's less people looking at the kind of the heart of a man, the determination, the work ethic, the winning attitude, and some of those intangibles. Everything is now focused on metrics and measurements and statistics, and that's all good. but I think sometimes that's overdone. So I think even putting teams together now are put together in a way that are statistically dominated. And again, to some degree, that's great. In other ways, I think you miss out on some key people that can be an integral part of a successful championship team because of their heart, the way they play the game, the type of teammate they are, the way they can raise their game when you need it. And a lot of times stats won't tell you all of that.
That's true. The mathematical formulas don't measure heart. They don't measure how athletes perform under pressure necessarily. Yes. They don't measure desire. So I always say that too. We're spending a few minutes with former Dodgers general manager Kevin Malone, who is now following a new passion, has been for several years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So when you left baseball, you were part of an initiative to found the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. This is a drastic change from baseball, Kevin. What drew your attention and made you decide this was what you wanted to do?
Well, I have to give the Lord the credit for that, Amy. I think that God was calling me to do this. I was known in baseball as a battler, as a fighter, as a competitor, and I think God kind of prepared me for this opportunity. And I had a lot of different experiences and different skill sets that could be utilized in this fight against child sex trafficking in America. And so I think that, you know, I just sought God on this, to be honest, completely honest with you. And I believe God was saying that I want you to be a voice for the voiceless. You know, there's tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American children being raped every day for profit. And somebody needs to stand up for these. Somebody needs to fight for these kids, to protect these kids. You know, we're called to be protectors, not predators, but we have a pandemic problem in America, Amy, right now, with men paying to rape children all across the country. It's not talked about much because it's so evil, it's so dark, it's so perverse, but we have a huge problem in America, and we need to wake up and do something about it. We need to get outraged about this. We're outraged about every other thing on the face of the earth, but when it comes to kids, I rarely hear anybody talking about the sexual abuse, the trafficking, the way kids are being, taken advantage of. So I believe I'm called to be a voice for the voiceless, as I said. And, God says, set the oppressed free and rescue the innocent. And I think that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what our organization, the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, is trying to do and bring awareness, but not only bring awareness, Amy, but a call to action and get people to do something about it. I'm tired of people telling me that they care about kids or, this is an issue that I'm glad you're doing this. But I want people to get engaged in the fight, start doing something about it to make a difference in their own neighborhoods, their own communities. We need everybody to step up to the plate, so to speak. And do something to protect our kids.
Well, as you point out, the statistics back this up too, Kevin, that it's a huge problem, not just around the globe, but in the United States. So how do you even begin to make a dent, not just awareness, as you talk about, but action and actually going so far as to see those numbers decrease and kids rescued from this plight and this awful position that they've been put in?
Well, that's a great question. I think your listeners should know that the United States is ranked as one of the worst countries in the world for human trafficking. It's the Department of Justice has just came out with a recently released report by the State Department that we're one of the worst three countries in the world when it comes to human trafficking. So, people know that, and they're learning that the U.S. is the number one consumer of sex worldwide. So we are driving the demand as a society. So it's a supply answer to a demand problem. So we need to go after demand. So what we do at the Institute, we're using a lot of different types of methods to fight human trafficking. Technology is one of them. And I think we have a trafficking free zone, which is basically where we try to get a services engagement at the community level to fight demand, meaning that we try to get everybody from politicians, law enforcement, the judicial system, schools, churches, hospitals, the whole community involved in this fight. And basically how you do that is it's about your spirit, sphere of influence. You get, you let other people know that this is going on, and you enlist or you engage or you challenge, you encourage others to get involved in this fight, because everyone has a sphere of influence and they can make a difference in that particular, with that group of people. So we're getting really going after businesses and churches, again, all the different segments of society, to do their part to bring awareness and then to implement policies and to do things that they can do in their particular area to make a difference. And we're seeing a lot of great things happening. So we're encouraged. We feel blessed. And we just got to get more people involved in this fight.
Well, as you say, it's one of those topics that maybe people, it's not that they don't care or don't want to care, but it's difficult to face facts. It's also really difficult to stare this evil in its face.
Yes, yes.
And so when you go in and you make your pitch to companies and you try to explain to them the need, what is generally the response?
Well, it just depends. I think America's starting to wake up slowly, I think, but it's starting to actually hear what's going on and ask the questions. I think that's the first step, is when we go in somewhere and we explain to a business owner or general manager, someone that runs a company, here's the impact that human trafficking is having on not only your community, but your business. And we have different statistics and different analysis that we can share with them on how they can get involved and what they can do. So oftentimes it's met with surprise. Well, I didn't know this was going on, or this was a big problem in my community, or I didn't know that this could be affecting my business. So really it's kind of an educational process. And once they hear and understand that it is impacting their communities and their businesses, they ask questions. So that's the first step, is to get people engaged in asking questions. And then we can do trainings. We train in schools. We have videos for law enforcement. So we're just trying to equip all of the community to do what they can do. But we're starting to get a lot of interest in this, because I think people are now becoming aware, and they know our kids are at risk and they're endangered. Mm. So people are starting to wake up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We're in the middle of a conversation with former Dodgers general manager and executive VP Kevin Malone, who agreed to stick through the break. And it's a new passion for Kevin now, something that he took up after he left Major League Baseball. Though, as you told us, Kevin, you still have a lot of friends in the game. So thanks again for sticking around. I'd like to ask about getting Major League Baseball involved in the human trafficking problem. If you're able to get athletes involved, very often they can use their platforms, and fans of the game are more apt to listen to what they have to say because of their fame. How much have you been able to involve your former sport?
That's a great question. Yes, we are. We've 2 weeks ago, I was in New York, as a matter of fact, with Deidre Pujols, the wife of Albert Pujols. They started an organization called Strikeout Slavery. So they're doing it this summer in 3 ballparks to try to bring awareness. They'll have a concert after the game, and the artists will talk about trafficking, and they'll try to get people to stay around and tell them about what's going on and how to get involved in human trafficking. So we did that in New York at the Mets ballpark, City Field, a couple weeks ago. We're doing it in Kansas City in August, and then in September we're doing it out in Anaheim at an Angels game. So Albert has taken, and Deidre, his wife, are really, they're really creating kind of a movement within the game. I'm a part of that. Our organization's a part of that. Mm. But I've also reached out to Commissioner Manfred, and I think they're listening. I think the current president and his daughter Ivanka, they're interested in trying to figure out how to eradicate human trafficking. I think they're reaching out to the major sports leagues to try to get them more and more involved. So it's starting to happen, Amy, but it's taken some time. But we just need America to wake up and to realize that our kids are really being targeted. And it's not throwaway kids. It's, I can tell you, I've dealt with parents that are from upper middle class to wealthy, as well as the ones that are lower income families. This doesn't discriminate. This attacks all families in all socioeconomic, situations. So we just need to do all that we can do. And we need to teach our kids what to look for. Mm. Everyone needs to just know what the factors are and to become aware and educated on what they can do and what's going on right now in our cities and towns all across the country.
What happens with the kids when the kids are rescued, when they're pulled from these types of organizations and they're able to start a new life? I mean, how do you help them?
Well, that's very difficult because I can tell you, the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, we opened the first and only boys traffic safe home in America, and we opened it 2 years ago, and we've helped about 12 to 15 kids. We got a 10-year-old in about 3 months ago. He was sold for sex by his father since he was around 5 years old. Mm. So we're seeing young boys that are being sold. What we're seeing too in some of the larger cities is survival sex, kids that have run away from home, or LGBTQ kids that have been kicked out because their families are disowning them, that they're now out on the streets and are trying to figure out how to survive. So we reach out to all kids, and we're trying to do what we can. But what happens, Amy, most of the time is we have a problem in America because we don't have enough safe homes. We don't have enough rescue homes for these kids to go to. These are highly traumatized young people that have been through hell on earth. They need special treatment, special care. And we are blessed to be able to find those people. We're in the state of Florida where our home is, so we can get special care providers to come in to help these kids because they need all kinds of services, all kinds of treatments. And it's a challenge and it's expensive. So that's part of the problem. So we don't have enough safe homes, enough beds all across the country. These kids usually get placed in maybe a group home or they go into foster care. But here's the real problem, Amy. If you could figure this one out, please let me know. And I think any of your listeners that pray that we need to fix foster care, because 60 to 70% of trafficked children are coming out of the foster care system. The foster care system is broken every state, and we need to fix it because the kids are being lured or groomed or recruited out of foster care. So we've got a lot of work to do. But I appreciate you asking. We just need a lot more beds, a lot more safe homes. We need the church to step up. The church has been behind the wheel, slow to respond. They're starting to respond now, and we're encouraged by that. But the church can step up and do something about fixing foster care and about helping these kids that have been trafficked to get to be healed and get the treatments and the care that they need so that they can, lead a life of productivity and be independent and be healthy. So that's one of our goals as well. So we definitely need a lot of prayer.
So for people who are hearing this and are moved and want to learn more, want to get involved, how can they do that, Kevin?
Please go to our website. We've created, I think, a very informative and educated type of website. It's www.usiaht.org. It stands for the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, usiaht.org. You can come on there. You can call our offices. What we do is we work with people all over the United States, Amy. We can help you, train you, teach you, educate you, provide you all the tools that you need so that you can fight this in your own neighborhoods, your own communities. And if we can't do it, we'll find someone to help you. So we take every call and we try to help everybody that wants to get involved, and we can usually do that. And so please call us at the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, or go on our website. Again, it's usiaht.org, and we'll help you get involved, and we'll help you learn what you need to learn to be a difference maker in this fight against child sex trafficking.
Kevin Malone is a former general manager with the Los Angeles Dodgers, now pursuing his new passion. And Kevin, it's great to have you on the front lines, usiaht.org. I'll make sure I share that website as well. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Amy. God bless you. Take care.
Summer is just beginning, and it's going to be awesome. In fact, if this past weekend was any indication, I hope that you had gorgeous weather wherever you were. I know that in my neighborhood, it was beautiful. And it was well-deserved after a week in which we barely saw the sun for 5 days. But we're also getting close to July 4th. I bet a lot of you are making plans, whether it's for backyard barbecues, whether it's for baseball games, whether it's for road trips. And listen to this. You will not be alone if you are taking a July 4th road trip. And I would say it's a good placement during the week for July 4th, because you have the opportunity, if you're not taking the whole week off, to take a long weekend. Honestly, a three-day weekend isn't even a long weekend anymore. I feel like it's not long enough. When you work overnights, a three-day weekend it's just not long enough to get back on a regular person's schedule. Whatever regular normal is. But a four-day weekend, whoa, peeps, that's fantastic. Now, we will be here because there's a lot happening in sports. By we, I mean me. I don't actually know if Chris and Dave are going to be here. Are you working July 4th?
I am.
Oh, you guys know what happens on July 4th and the fact that it's a four-day weekend? All of the bosses and all of the people who make decisions, they all disappear, and they are completely off the grid, which means we can do whatever we want.
While the bosses are away, we shall play.
So great. I love the shows over July 4th. Yes, there will be a lot of NBA pre-agency talk, but it's also a time when we can fool around. We'll play all kinds of fun music and talk about food, and it's going to be great. Anyway, here's how I know that the show must go on. 50 million people heading out for 4th of July and the long weekend. 50 million people.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
Not this number. You know what that makes me want to do? Throw up. When I think about the number of people who will be on the roads. Now, it's good for our radio show because so many people will be out of their regular routines. So they will be hearing our show for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time. And so, yes, 50 million people will be in their cars or taking to the friendly skies. Oh, they're not going to be so friendly. If you are one of them, here's the advice. If you are one of them, consider hitting the road early or late on the 3rd to avoid traffic. Now, if it was me, I like to drive late at night or overnight, similar to when I work, just because you get fewer cars on the road. But how about this? The holiday congestion with these 50 million people expected to peak on July 3rd, which is Wednesday, between 2:30 to 6:30, wherever you are. I'm not talking about Eastern time, Pacific time, wherever you are, people are going to, they're going to bust out of work early. They're going to leave the office thinking, oh, I'm going to get a head start. I'm going to get a jump. Nope. You're not going to get a jump on traffic. In fact, you might as well not show up to work on Wednesday either, if you want to be able to beat the 50 million people who are taking to the roads. Holiday congestion peaks between 2:30 and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, July 3rd. Okay. I'm glad I'm not going anywhere. In fact, I do love July 4th. It's one of my favorite holidays, but I always feel bad going anywhere and leaving my dog behind. I don't know if you all have the same problem or if your dog has the same fears, but Penny is deathly afraid of fireworks. Deathly afraid. And I have no freaking idea why somebody in my town was setting off fireworks last Saturday. It wasn't July 4th. It wasn't anywhere close. Stop with your random fireworks displays. You're likely to blow off a finger. So, coming up on July 4th, just be ready. You and millions of your closest friends all hitting the road. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. How many people do you think will be eating a lot of sugar over the long July 4th weekend? In fact,
I my neighbors and I are having a barbecue on the weekend. We're going to do a cookout. So not on Thursday, but on that Saturday. And we were talking about various foods. And so I've been looking up some fun foods. I was feeling very red, white, and blue with my foods. And so I saw this recipe for lemon cream cupcakes with some fun twist to them with the red, white, and blue and the icing. Because, you know, that sounds super healthy. If I make them, would you guys like to try them? Would you like to be the guinea pigs?
Yes.
Wait, Chris, I thought you were on a diet that didn't allow any sweets.
I can make an exception for that. That sounds really good.
Okay, yeah. So lemon cream. I'm also going to try this roasted potato salad.
I like food.
I know you do. Maybe we can have our own little cookout. Our own, well.
Let's do that.
We can't cook out, but we can cook in. That'll be fun. Chris doesn't cook, but he definitely could bring some snacks. And then Dave likes to cook, and his wife cooks. I feel like Dave is the best well-fed among us.
Most likely.
Yeah. Actually, they're called berry lemon cupcakes. So they include red strawberries, fresh blueberries, or raspberries. So that's where you get the red and the blue. And the icing is buttercream. It's buttercream. Oh, my gosh. Lemon, berry, and the buttercream frosting. Oh, I'm all about it. If I make them, you guys promise you'll try them?
100%.
Okay, cool. I'm doing this. I'm so doing this.
Yes!
So we're going to have our own little 4th of July party, but I don't think we'll be alone in consuming a lot of sugar. The sugar rush is a myth, by the way. For those of you who think that eating a lot of sugar will boost your energy levels, nope. Contrary to popular belief, research shows that eating sweets or refined carbs does not boost your mood or your energy. Now, they taste good, which makes us happy for a short time. At least they do me. But they don't actually give you a sugar rush. The sugar crash, however, is real. Listen to this. The research proves that within 30 minutes of eating a big glop of sugar, so a candy bar or drinking a soda, anything like that that has a high concentration of sugar, within 30 minutes you'll feel less alert.
It's science.
Yes, it is. So no sugar rush. I mean, they do taste good. No sugar rush, but a sugar crash. Oh, and here's the advice of the scientists. This sounds really boring. Hit the water cooler instead. Staying hydrated keeps your energy steady. Well, that sucks. That sounds boring. Who wants to do that? Oh, my gosh. I'm really excited now about berry lemon cupcakes. If they turn out poorly or they look funny, will you eat them anyway?
I doubt that'll happen. You're batting 1,000 when it comes to bringing
in
food.
Oh, thank you. So. You weren't here for the rock cookie episode.
I was not.
the pumpkin rock cookies. A couple autumns ago, I love pumpkin. Anything pumpkin. And so I made pumpkin cookies, but it was my first time baking cookies with the oven in the home in which I live right now. So I left them in there a little bit too long. You could bounce them, but God bless Peter Schwartz. He ate every single cookie that I brought in. And Tom and Isaac also liked them. In fact, Isaac said he liked the fact that they were crunchy. He thought that it was better for his teeth. Of course, that's not the case, but I do appreciate.
That's an Ike statement if I've ever heard
one. Yeah, I do appreciate the fact that he ate them. I was really happy about the fact that the pumpkin rock cookies did not go to waste. But yes, we did try bouncing them, and they bounced pretty well. So I promise these lemon berry cupcakes
will not. I like stuff.
I like stuff. Thanks so much for tuning in to our show as we head from a Monday into a Tuesday. 855-212-4227. So the anniversary that we have coming up on Tuesday, it is the 10th anniversary of Michael Jackson's death. And I don't mean to be morbid. I mean, he's been dead a long time, but he's still an icon. But I happened to hear this as I was driving into work because the local news channel that I was listening to, they were remarking on different birthdays and anniversaries. They always give a list. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Probably a lot of you feel the same way. And On June 25th, as you can imagine, there will be different memorials and different fans who kind of put together their tributes. And so I thought, as our Twizzler Tuesday question, it's a simple Twizzler Tuesday question, but as our Twizzler Tuesday question, what was your favorite Michael Jackson song or your favorite Jackson 5 song? Either one, because the Jackson 5 were pretty fly as well. I have one particular Michael Jackson song that will always be my favorite. And so maybe we'll share some of those, because that'd be kind of a fun way to usher in a Tuesday. So yeah, the 10th anniversary of Michael Jackson's death. I can't believe it's been 10 years. I remember exactly where I was when I heard the news. Actually, I wasn't in the country. I was out of the country. I was in Ecuador, way up in the Andes Mountains, which are 2 miles above sea level. And so I was on a trip to go into these villages that were built into the side of the Andes Mountains and work with little kids. So we took soccer balls and we took air pumps. Actually, that was just as valuable, because if they don't have a way to put air in the soccer balls after they are deflated or maybe they need a pat, something like that, they don't have a way to do that. And so once a soccer ball loses air, they're kind of stuck. So they were all excited about the brightly colored soccer balls that we brought, but also the air pumps that we left with them. And so we were up there for a week, and for the most part, we had no internet access whatsoever. In our hotel that we stayed in Ambato, Ecuador, if anyone has ever been to Ecuador, familiar, again, way up in the Andes Mountains. And so we were in Ambato, and our hotel had a couple of computers. Not great internet service, but every now and then, a couple nights during the week, we would sit down and we would try to dial up the internet. Oh my gosh, trying to look at your email, that was a disaster. Anyway, so there was the last night that we were there, and we were leaving the next day to drive back to the capital city, Quito, and then to fly home from there. And I remember we got on the internet, and all of a sudden, we all kind of heard the news at the same time. Michael Jackson, he died. He's found dead. And so just the weird sensation of being outside the country, and we were, you know, spending a lot of time with some Ecuadorians, some locals who are working with us in these villages. And so to get their reaction, some of them didn't know who he was, but some of the young people certainly did. And so I just remember that, not just the sensation of that and reading it from so far away, but also coming back to the United States the next couple days, and it was everywhere. It was everywhere that you looked. It was everywhere that anything that you would listen to. So not that we want to be marking that anniversary, but to think back and how much more iconic his music was even after he died. There was a whole new generation of young people who then became obsessed with Michael Jackson music. My little sister, for heaven's sakes, I don't even know if she knew who Michael Jackson was before he passed away, but once he did, all of a sudden that was some of her favorite music. So that'll be our Twizzler Tuesday question. Well, maybe we'll play some of the top responses on Twitter, A-Law Radio, but also on our Facebook page. What is your favorite Michael Jackson song or your favorite Jackson 5 song? So I'm thinking of happier times when Michael was singing and entertaining us. I'm going to save mine. I'll wait until a little bit later on, and then we'll play it coming out of a break. But that's our Twizzler Tuesday question. And of course, our phone number is always 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. If you haven't had enough of basketball, there are multiple ways that you can still watch hoops. Now, we're getting ready for NBA pre-agency and free agency, but if you want to watch the action on the court, coming up on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, it's a WNBA showdown when the Minnesota Lynx take on the Indiana Fever. That's on CBS Sports Network Tuesday evening, again, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Also, the Big Three coming to an arena near you. I have to tell you guys about the response to my bold move. Reaching out to the Big Three for a job opportunity. That was me. I did it. We'll see what comes of it, but at least there was some traffic on Monday. I was very excited to hear back from them. I'm starting rumors, of course, you know, but I'm telling you the truth. But if you missed it on our last show, well, then I guess you're going to have to get the podcast. my bold move. All right, so on Twitter, on Facebook, hashtag Twizzler Tuesday. Thanks so much for tuning in as we usher in the second day of the work week here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.